Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Now, if I get distracted this morning, y'all go ahead and listen anyway, okay? We decorated the church Wednesday night for Christmas, and we put the manger scene, that's new, over there on that side. We had it in a different place before. And out of the corner of my eye, I see these people standing over here, and I keep wondering why they're standing over there. I'm going to start the message this morning with a bit of a confession. I don't particularly like to do that, but sometimes I think it's necessary, and it always gets your attention when I say I'm going to make a confession. I have a long prayer list, a daily prayer list, and the other morning I was praying, and I was already tired, and I was a little bit discouraged, and as I was praying, I realized that most of the people, many of the people on my prayer list, I'd been praying for the same people about the same things for years and years and years and years, 30, 40 years in some cases. And because I was already tired and a little discouraged, I just thought, you know, I'm just tired. I'm tired of praying for these people. I'm tired of praying about this stuff. And so, of course, then that made me feel guilty, which made me feel more discouraged. So I just told God, I said, you know, God, I'm just tired. I'm tired of praying for all these people. And it was a relief to tell him that. I can't say that I was particularly proud of that. I don't know that it felt good, but it was a relief to. He already knew. And after I told him that, I went ahead and went through my list and prayed for everybody, and I'm still doing it, and everything seems to be okay so far. And I got to thinking about that, and I thought, I'm sure you have all felt the same way sometime, saved or unsaved alike, it doesn't make any difference. We get tired physically, we get tired emotionally, we even get tired spiritually, and when the weariness comes, discouragement comes. Christmas time, as a matter of fact, is a time of discouragement and weariness for many people. We get to thinking sometimes about loved ones who have gone on in the last year, and this is our first Christmas without them, and that's discouraging, and that's wearying. We get to thinking about the condition of the world, and it's discouraging. We get to thinking about what we don't have in some cases. And so Christmas time, while most people are happy and joyful and excited, some are extremely discouraged and extremely tired. If you are in that condition this morning, or maybe I should say the next time you get in that condition, because we're all going to be there sooner or later, I want you to pay very close attention, because something wonderful might be about to happen to you. In Luke chapter 5, Peter and some of his friends, some who would be apostles of Jesus Christ, are discouraged, and something great happens to them. Let's read. I'll start chapter 5, starting verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, that's Peter, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let your nets down for a draught. A draught is a catch. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so also was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. The first thing I want us to notice this morning is their discouragement. I don't like to preach about discouragement or on discouragement, but it's in the Bible. People were discouraged in the Bible, and certainly we get discouraged today. I want you to notice verse 2 mentions the fishermen. So it's just more, it's more than just Peter. Sometimes we think it's just Simon Peter, but it was James and John and the other guys that had been fishing with them. In verse 5, Peter is the one who speaks, but he said, "We have toiled all the night and have taken nothing." All of them had toiled all night long, and they were all tired because they had all been working, and none of them had caught anything. They rowed their boats out onto the lake when the sun set, and just before sunset, they rowed out onto the lake. And they cast their nets into the lake, and they let the nets sink to the desired level, and then they pulled them back in. And they did that all night long. We're talking maybe 8 or 10 hours. And every time they pulled that net back in, it was empty. I would imagine that probably after several casts and several empty nets, they probably rowed their boat to another place on the lake trying to find the fish. They may have done that several times throughout the night, because every time they pulled the net back in, the net was empty. So listen, their arms were tired, their shoulders were tired, their backs were tired, probably their feet were tired. Their whole body was tired. They toiled all night long. And they had caught nothing, and catching nothing probably made them even more tired. Isn't that what it seems like to us? They were all discouraged. These were professional fishermen. They did this. This wasn't recreation. This was their livelihood. They caught no fish, so they had nothing to eat. They weren't like us. They didn't have a cupboard at home stored with food or a refrigerator stocked with food. They had no way of keeping food. They ate fresh food. If they didn't catch anything, they didn't eat anything. How were they going to pay their bills? No fish, no income. What were they going to tell their wives and their children when they came home that day? Empty-handed. "Sorry, honey, I've got nothing for breakfast. I've got nothing for lunch. I've got nothing for supper. We'll have to call the bank and ask if we can get an extension on the loan." I mean, this is what they faced. They were embarrassed. They weren't the only guys out on the lake fishing that night. The other guys came back. They probably had fish to sell. But they had nothing. They'd fished all night. They were professionals. And they'd caught nothing. I also want you to notice that because it was more than one, they were all tired and they were all discouraged. To be discouraged, when it's just one, when it's just you or just one other person who is discouraged, you know, there's other people around you who can encourage you and they kind of try to lift you up and help you and encourage you. But boy, when everybody's discouraged, who's going to step up and say, "Well, listen now, folks, we need to, you know, it doesn't happen that way." We all get discouraged. We all get tired. And when we get discouraged, we always face a dilemma. And these men faced a dilemma. I want you to notice in verse 4, Jesus gave Simon a command. He said, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch," a drought. Between the command of verse 4 and the nevertheless of verse 5, Peter faced a dilemma. What was he going to do? What should he do? Now, I want to tell you something. I think I can tell you how Peter felt. Because I know he was tired. He said he was tired. I know he was discouraged. His words tell us he's discouraged. "We've toiled all night, and we didn't catch a thing." And I've been discouraged, and you've been discouraged, and I think I can tell you how Peter felt. And he probably felt like he didn't want to do anything. He just wanted to go home and go to sleep. Isn't that what we want to do? I'm not talking about a little disappointment. I mean, when you are discouraged, you want to just crawl under the covers and pull them up over your head and just go to sleep and just make the world go away. You don't want to do anything. You don't want to go anywhere. You don't want to talk to anybody. You don't want to read your Bible. You don't want to pray. You just want to do nothing. I think that's how Peter felt. But he was in a little bit of a dilemma because Jesus said, "Go cast your nets." He was discouraged. He was tired. He was embarrassed. We've talked about all that. He probably wondered if the other guys would go back out with him. They were discouraged. They were tired. They were embarrassed just like him. What if Jesus told Peter to go? He didn't tell the other guys to go. But Peter needed help. He needed help to row the boat. He needed help to cast the nets. He needed help to draw the nets in and draw the fish in if there were any. So in his mind, he's probably thinking, well, now, wait a minute. These guys are just as tired and discouraged. And what if they don't go with me? Worse yet, what if I go? What if they go and we still don't catch any fish? I think he may have felt like that Jesus' command didn't make a whole lot of sense. Peter was a professional fisherman. Before he became an apostle of Jesus Christ, he was a professional fisherman. And he knew that you fished at night because the fish were closer to the surface at night. And you didn't have to let the net down as deep at night. And maybe the nets wouldn't even go deep enough to catch fish during the daytime. So he knew that during the daytime the fish went deeper. Jesus, this just doesn't make sense. You're a preacher. You stick to preaching. I'm a fisherman. I'll stick to fishing. I think Peter would have just rather have gone home and faced the music with his wife and kids, crawled up in the bed, and went to sleep. I'll try it again, Lord, but not now. Not today. I've already cleaned the nets. I've already put the nets away. I just want to go home. I can almost hear Peter in his mind. I can almost hear Peter say, oh, I just want to go home. But he's in a dilemma because it's Jesus that has given the command. And the command contained the promise of a catch. Did you catch what Jesus said? Launch out into the deep and cast your nets for a drought, for a catch. The implication is, Peter, if you'll go out and drop your nets in again, you'll catch some fish. He didn't want to, but it seemed like Jesus was saying, if you'll do it, you'll catch some fish. We all face dilemmas when we're discouraged. God's not just going to let us crawl in under the covers and do nothing. So even when we're discouraged, He gives us commands. He reminds us of the commands in His Word. Sometimes He speaks to us, sometimes through other people, sometimes through other things. Sometimes we can just almost hear the voice of God speaking to us, even when we're discouraged. And what He wants us to do is to get up and do something. Go out there and cast your nets. And what we would like to do is just stay home. Well, but now wait a minute, Lord. You don't understand how tired I am. Would you think about that for just a minute? We tell God that, don't we? Maybe we don't say those words, but we think them. You don't understand, God, how tired I am. You don't understand, God, how discouraged I am. You don't know anything about my job. You don't know anything about my family. You're not a mechanic. You're not a fisherman. You're not whatever it is. You don't work in retail sales. You've not done what I'm doing. You just don't understand, God. I thought about that as I prepared this message because I think we do that in our minds. And then we wonder, but it's Jesus that's commanding. I just don't know what to do. I'm in a dilemma. What I really want to do is nothing. What I know I should do is something. And I got to thinking about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Don't you think He was tired? I think He was physically, He was a human being. I know He was divine. He is the Holy Son of God. I understand that. But He was also human. He felt all the things that we feel as humans, and He was tired physically. He was tired emotionally. Isn't that reflected in His prayer? Oh, Father. Listen, that's not the prayer of somebody who's encouraged and ready to go. Oh, Father. If there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. I think He was tired. I think He was discouraged. He may have wondered in his humanness in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus may have wondered, God, will this plan really work? One man dying for the sins of all men? What if it doesn't work? What if it fails? What if I fail? What if I can't take the pain? What if in my moment of weakness on the cross, I call for the angels to come and deliver me and release me? Oh, Father, if there's some other way. You know, you hear what he's saying? God, I'd just like to crawl up in the bed and pull the covers over my head. And then he said, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. In verse chapter 5 of Luke chapter 5, Peter said, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Isn't nevertheless a marvelous word? Amen. You know what Peter said when he, you know what he meant when he said nevertheless? Peter didn't say, oh, listen, I believe that's going to work. Let's go. That's not what nevertheless means. Nevertheless, Lord, I'm tired. I'm discouraged. I may be all alone. I don't think this will work. I've tried the same thing before. You're not a fisherman. I am. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll do it. Well, here's what happened. We get now to their decision. You remember I told you if you're discouraged this morning or the next time you get discouraged, pay very close attention because something great is about to happen to you. I want you to notice what happened to these men. Peter said, nevertheless, I'll do it. Verses 6 and 7 say, and when they had this done, when they had launched out into the sea and when they'd let down their nets into the deep, when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ships, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships so that they began to sink. Now, I want you to be very careful and pay very close attention to here. First of all, notice that James and John and the other guys went back out with Peter. That was a good thing. He didn't have to go alone. Now, I want you to notice that they caught a great catch, a great drought of fishes, so much so that it was about to sink two boats. That was a good thing, but it wasn't a great thing. Because the great thing, what was found in verse 11 and the decision that they made. Verse 11 says, and when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. The great catch was Jesus Christ. And the great thing was that they forsook all and followed him. Listen, the great thing came after the good things. The good things was him not going by himself. The good things was the catch of fish. But the great thing was that they found Jesus. Matthew chapter 13, verses 45 and 46, the Bible says, and again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Jesus is the great pearl. He's the great catch. And great things happen to all of those who forsake all and follow Jesus. Now, I know that's a big statement, isn't it? We think, oh, well, you know, I can't forsake all. My spouse is not a Christian. I can't start serving the Lord. It'll cause trouble in my marriage. My job is such that requires me to work on Sunday some of the time, maybe quite a bit, maybe all the time. I can't start serving the Lord. I'll have to give up my job. Well, my friends, none of my friends are Christians. And you know, I've been friends with these people. They're my social circle for 20, 30, 40 years. They're my whole life. I can't. If I start serving God, I'll lose my friends. I can't lose my friends. Well, God will probably want me to start paying tithes. I can't give up 10% of my income. It's all obligated. I've got house payments and car payments and furniture payments and boat payments and all these other kind of payments. And the kids have got to go to college and they need shoes. The list goes on and on. All my money's obligated. I can't give up 10%. Well, what about me? Hey, Come on, it's me first. I live my life for myself, my way. I can't give that up. Great things aren't coming to people who won't forsake all. I thought about these guys. I thought about Peter and James and John and these other guys. Would you think about that for just a minute? The great catch. Two boats about to sink from all the fish. Do you know how long that would have set those guys up financially? They'd never caught anything like that before in their life. Just the fact that it was a great catch. You'd want to drag the boats onto shore and call the newspaper and get your picture made and have something published and talk to people and sign autographs. Man, this is a big deal. You'd want to sell all those fish and put a little money in an IRA and relax a little bit and rest. Got a little retirement now to think about, and everything is going good. You know, you might want to write a book, How to Make the Great Catch, to have a little infomercial on television. I mean, you could be fixed for the rest of your life. And the Bible says they forsook all and followed Him. And Peter and James and John are in heaven today. Jesus' message is very simple. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me. Luke chapter 5, verse 27. And after these things he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, Follow me. John 1, 43. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, Follow me. In Psalm 23, the Bible tells us that Jesus will lead us to green pastures and still waters and in the paths of righteousness. In John chapter 14, Jesus said He was going to prepare a place for us. And if we'll follow Jesus, He will lead us to that place, to our place in heaven, if we'll follow Him. If we'll forsake all and follow Jesus, great things will happen to us. Amen. Just following Jesus is a great thing. He is the great catch. He is the pearl of great price. He is worth all that we would have to forsake, and much, much more if we'll follow Him. Would you stand with me this morning? Sure, if you'd come and play a song of invitation. Bow your heads, please, and close your eyes. Be as quiet as you can for just a minute. Christian, I'm going to tell you something. I understand discouragement. If you're here today and you're a Christian and you're discouraged, listen, follow Jesus. Just obey Him. Just trust Him. Don't worry about whether or not what He asks you to do makes sense. Just follow Jesus, and great things will happen. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a Christian. You've never made the decision to follow Jesus. You've thought about it, but you've never really done it. You've never confessed that you're a sinner. You've never asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins. You've never made the decision to forsake all and follow Jesus. Would you do that this morning? You come, I'll share a place. Some of you ladies come and pray with CJ, and a couple of you come and pray with these who've come this morning. Heads bowed and eyes closed while these are praying. I'm just going to tell you this morning, I believe there's somebody here who needs to be saved. I believe the Holy Spirit is convicting you of your sin. That conviction is the love of Jesus drawing you to Him because He loves you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to change your life. He wants to give you great things. Will you confess your sins today? Will you accept Jesus today? I think you've been thinking about it. That's sort of the, I hate to use the word feeling, but that's sort of the feeling I get today. You've been thinking about it. I think today is the time. Right where you are, would you pray this prayer with me? Jesus, finally I confess to you that I'm a sinner. And I ask you to forgive me of my sins, Lord, and come into my life. And Lord, I'm ready to forsake all and follow you. If you prayed that prayer this morning, would you just slip your hand up? I won't call your name. I won't embarrass you. Quickly. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Come on now. Come on now. Father, I thank you for your blessings and your grace. I thank you for these three, Lord, this morning who have raised their hands. I pray that you'll minister to them and bless them and encourage them and help them to follow you, Lord. Make the path clear. I believe there's some still this morning, Lord, who have decided one more time to resist. God, I pray that you will continue to deal with them. I know that you love them. I pray you'll give them another opportunity, Lord. And I pray soon, very soon, they'll be saved. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you for coming this morning. I appreciate your attention. Come back tonight at 6 and pray for Trey this afternoon. Support him tonight with your presence. I know he'll appreciate that. Wayne Bookout, would you dismiss us, please?